Welcome to another episode of the Alaska Airlines Center podcast. We are joined today by the voice of AFC, Mr. John Thompson. Thank you for being here today.
Hey, John. Good to be here, man. Good to be here. How are you doing?
Doing great. Hey, we've talked about this for a long time. So glad that we could connect with you and get you in here. Really happy that you're with AFC and part of the organization. You're doing a great job out there, and we're excited to have you and talk some MMA.
It's a class organization, right? And we got some good news not long ago that now we're going to have a fight card every month throughout the whole year.
That's right.
So no summers off. And it is. It's just nonstop action, a lot of fun, good energy, good music, good people, good crowd, and incredible venue. And we're going to have what? We got Booker Burbrick tomorrow night. It's going to be phenomenal as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah. David, the Coffee Boss Booker, he's been on the podcast before.
Great guy.
Yeah, super nice guy. We haven't had Chris on the podcast before too, but hopefully we can get some more fighters for next month. But yeah, David is great. He's a really nice guy. Always good to see him out there.
Yeah, and I was talking to Sarah, the promoter and the CEO there of Alaska Fighting Championship, AFC, and she said, you know, this is a great matchup, David Booker and Chris Burbrick, and just I think from a technical standpoint, they're going to be doing some boxing. You know, David's got a little bit of that boxing atmosphere, background, and so, yeah, they're going to bang. It should be fun.
Absolutely, and both the experienced fighters in MMA and with AFC, so it should be a great title fight. Good undercard as well, too. So if anybody hasn't caught any of the fights yet, certainly come on out.
Yeah.
April 17th, fights start at 7 p.m. here locally. It will be streamed live on UFC Fight Pass later in the evening. That does start at 9 p.m. Pacific.
Eastern, I believe. Or, no, you're right. Midnight Eastern, right?
So correct. Yep.
There you go. All right. And around the world, they're watching UFC or AFC on UFC Fight Pass, which I thought was really interesting. Sarah kind of pushed me toward the Reddit. Have you ever been to some of those subreddits like the MMA?
MMA ones, yeah.
And AFC is really hot in Reddit. Like everybody, like it's destination TV, and these guys are and girls from around the world coming together on a random Wednesday nights and just sitting down all time zones, all hours, and watching AFC, loving it, and commenting. It's kind of a cool community.
Very Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. And the great thing is it's a reflection on the fighters as well. It's not just Alaskan fighters. You do have the best of Alaska fighters, but Sarah's done a great job getting people from all over New York, Hawaii, California, Washington. So you get fighters every fight card that are coming up, and then they have their fan base and fight clubs back home and people tuning in. We also do the Facebook Live for one of the fights just before the intermission.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see some of those people. You know, they'll give little shout outs of where they're tuning in from there as well, and certainly from all over the state, all over the world, really. On that.
It's true. I brought a buddy of mine who's from Georgia to a fight card, I think, 2 months ago. And just so happened, I don't know if it was main event or a co-main event, but we had a guy from Atlanta on the card, and he, you know, was banging and rocked it, and it was fun, high energy. And this guy was like, oh my gosh, dude, I gotta go with this guy, you know. So and it's fun, and she brings guys up from Hawaii, you know, some great MMA going on, sending guys down to Hawaii, some good relationship building. Can't say enough about Sarah Lorimer as a promoter.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's done a great job with this over the years and really built this up, really expanded the market. You know, obviously touching into the UFC Fight Pass is a huge deal for them, and like you said, doing now 12 promotions a year, it's only getting bigger.
Exactly.
And UFC and MMA in general as a sport is just astronomically getting bigger and bigger. I mean, you see it and hear about it all the time. So really a good job of expanding this promotion and getting the world to tune in.
The fastest growing sport in the world, you know. Every other sport, it's either fledgling a little bit or kind of getting there or slowing down in growth. MMA is just wildfire.
It is, absolutely.
So, yeah. It's good to be a part of it. Really is.
Yeah, and with MMA, did you spend a lot of time coming to these events before, too? I know you do have a pretty versed knowledge on MMA, and that was one of the things that when we talked to Sarah, and we'll get into that a little bit, of you coming to be the voice of AFC. But how much time did you spend prior to this in the MMA realm or coming to fights?
I've just always been a fan of combat sports. Really have pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, I, you know, grew up watching, you know, pro wrestling, and I still do. I really enjoy pro wrestling. And but when MMA came on the scene, it wasn't MMA, it was UFC, and it was the octagon, and it was no rules except I think you couldn't eye gouge or fish hook or something
right.
like that. That was it.
Yep.
You could kick a guy, you know where, below the belt. I mean,
they did.
I remember a guy breaking a toenail off in this one guy's eyeball from a nasty kick. It was a little karate guy versus the big sumo guy, because that was the other thing. You know, nobody had like this great knowledge of all these arts and put it together for mixed martial arts. It was take the karate guy, put him against the taekwondo guy and see who wins, which is kind of brilliant as an initial concept, right? It's who would win, the boxer or the wrestler? And it's like, well, the wrestler's always going to win because he's going to take this guy down, right? And once he's on the ground, he's not going to have a clue. So the original UFCs were a lot of fun, but then you would see some, and so like back in high school, you know, we'd go down to the Blockbuster video, me and a couple of guys, right? And you'd pick out a UFC 1, 2, and you just work your way up and you pop it in and have a great time on a Saturday or whatever in high school. And that's kind of how I got hooked into the MMA. Yeah. And then after high school, started going to college here, but then went down to Las Vegas. And this was early 2000s, mid 2000s. And that's when it was really coming on the scene. Chuck Liddell and the Tito Ortizes and the Randy Couture's and those guys were like, it was white hot at that point, but it was still very small compared to what it is today. So being in Vegas, though, working at Mandalay Bay, I worked at the pool. And I remember it was just you'd never know who was going to come out on random days. And Mandalay Bay would host a lot of UFCs. So I, you know, got to meet Bruce Buffer, who was, you know, an announcer.
Absolutely.
Got to chat it up with him a little bit. I mean, we'll never forget, we're a bunch of kids asking this guy all kinds of questions. It's like, do you know who's going to win the fights? You know who's going to win? Oh, man, I know the second they walk in that octagon, I look him in the eye and I know exactly who's going to win the fight. And he would talk about raising the you know, his excitement level going from the undercard fights all the way up to the main event. You had to be very, you know, and it's just interesting things. And as a broadcast guy, I'm taking mental notes, you know.
Absolutely.
And you know, we'll never be the Bruce Buffer, but you know, some good notes. And so what I need to do is I get this paper that's like stapled and I'm flipping through and you're holding a microphone. I got to do the Bruce Buffer. I got to put that stuff on a card. You know? And so I'm still learning too. This is my first year doing this, but it's been a blast. But yes, MMA roots run deep. While I have not myself been a mixed martial art fighter, wrestled in high school and into college a little bit, you know, in clubs and things like that. But that's about the extent of my MMA.
Perfect.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
well, learning from Bruce Buffer, that's a good early career. And who would have known that it would have applied so perfectly here coming up? And kind of transitioning into that with your role here, first season with AFC and the announcer, we had Sarah in here talking about that. And, you know, it should be a big pat on the back to you that the story that she was telling was, you know, her and her husband were sitting there at dinner time and her husband said, how about John Thompson? And it just clicked to them, like, this is our guy. This is the voice that we want. And
it's wild.
The story that she said is it would just dawn on them, like, that's perfect. Let's see. And I guess the rest is history. They reached out and made it work. And
that was it. Well, I've known, you know, Sarah, because so I used to work at Fox and ABC, and we had a sports show. And that's how you and I met, you know, when you were working with the pilots there every day. And,
absolutely.
And it's a blast covering sports. And so when she would hold in AFC, we would go and broadcast live that night from AFC. Like, so on a Wednesday night, let's do sports live from the arena. And we would go out and we would do it. And so I got to know Sarah kind of that way a little bit and through radio. And I mean, it's very kind. And she said, you know, we got this UFC deal now, we got the cameras, and we just want to, Bob has left. He went down to Dallas and we're looking for a guy. And, they didn't even hear me do an announce. Like I, it was a cold tryout, basically, that first show. So, but glad it worked out. It's a lot of fun. You just feed off the energy.
Absolutely. You know? And you're just doing a great job as an observer of these fights and have been to every one of these ones.
You're doing
a great job and fits right in. You're natural at this, especially with your production background and radio and television.
Appreciate you, John. It's a blast. It's just a good time, you know? When you're having fun and you're feeling that energy, you're obviously not getting punched in the face or doing the punching, right? But seeing it and feeling it and just being around it and knowing that Sarah does it the right way. way, you know, and knowing that she runs a great organization who care about these guys and want to make sure, you know, safety is first and taking care and then putting on a great show as well. And so just to be a part of that show, you feel like you got that energy. It's like, you know, they touch you. You got it. So.
And there's been some really great fights.
Oh, really?
Really good fights. It seems like every month there's a couple of them that are just, they just blow you away with how good and evenly balanced they are.
Absolutely.
Do you have a couple that stick out in your mind so far in this season that have really...
I'm not even kidding when I say this, but David the Coffee Boss Booker is a blast to watch, right? I know he trains. He's a big boxing guy. He trains at the Alaska Boxing Academy, I think, is one of the places that he trains here in town, who has an Olympic boxer as a coach over there, David Carey. He also trains a little bit over at Legacy? Yeah, Legacy Jiu-Jitsu. So, you know, he's a pretty well-rounded guy. And you talk to him, so you got to hear... You know, it's his heart and it's his attitude. He's just the sweetest person.
Absolutely.
If you were to run into him in a supermarket and you see him with his four or five kids, he's got a big family, just, you know, family guy, you would have no idea what he does, you know, once a month or, you know, more than that, because he's boxing in other promotions. So he loves to compete. And so he has competitive fights. I would say my favorite was against Dom Merriweather. So you had the Coffee Boss versus Mocha Bear.
Exactly.
And that's great in and of itself. But then the fight, I didn't go the distance, I want to say. Did it? If it did not go three rounds, I want to say it got really close.
Yeah, it was a long, long fight and a pretty evenly matched fight, too.
Yeah, and those are two guys that have a lot of support in the community. So
certainly.
The arena was packed out. It was loud. And that was one of those just like... You don't even think about what you're doing. You're just feeling it and you're rolling, you know, and you just everybody, even the crowd, you know, you all feel like you're a part of something. So,
yeah. And it was great on that fight. And in particular, we had both those guys on at the same time for the podcast.
Oh, you did?
Which is the first time that we had done that with two fighters. Typically, we'll have just one of them talking about the fights, but we had both of them in here. And to hear those guys compliment each other and the respect that they have for each other. And when they're not going head to head, they're cheering for each other and the community as a whole. And we talked about that with the fighters. There's not a lot of really bad blood, outside of the ring.
Right.
They're all competitors. You know, they have their different gyms that they train for, and they take a lot of pride in seeing those ones do well. But the amount of respect that those guys had, not only for each other, but the other fighters, and they all know that they're in the same boat, and they're all training, they're all trying to be professional. And like you said, it's a well-run organization. Mm-hmm. Once they get into the ring, they certainly both want to win.
Yes.
And all that goes out the window. But at the end of the bell, at the end of the night, they're hugging each other. Yeah. They're wishing each other well. And to see that after the fights of two guys slugging it out, but then coming back and they can hug each other, they're wishing each other well. There's no bad blood that lingers over on a lot of them. There may be some.
There may be. And there may be some hits and, you know, some things done in the cage that you know, maybe be an accident, maybe not. Maybe somebody gets caught up in the moment. But you're right. Things happen. It's fights. It's sport and it's fight. And, competition brings out the best and worst in all of us. So, you know, it can.
Yeah.
At least I'll say. So.
Absolutely. But another good.
But respect.
Yeah. Respect, I think, was the biggest thing. Huge. The takeaway from that was, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this doesn't roll out afterwards and they respect each other. And if one of them happens to lose, they just want to get back there and train and, hey, see you down the road sometime. And we'll get into that a little bit later.
And just real quick along the lines of respect, you know, now, so I used to would come and watch the fights or be the guy in front of a camera, you know, not in the back, just telling people at home what's happening right now. But now getting to go in the back and you listen to the pre-fight, you know, when basically Jared Simmons is out there, one of the head referees, and he has all the fighters lined up and they have the meeting and he's going through it. And at the end of the, after he explains all the rules and everything, he says, and remember guys, we all got day jobs, or a lot of you do. So, you know, these guys you don't want to go out there. And if I'm telling you to let go of the hold, let go of the hold. We don't want broken arms, you know, or if you're swinging and you knock the guy out, please, like when I come in and push you off, like stop. Because these guys, we all got lives and we all respect each other. So they have that talk before the fights. And I think that's a huge deal. So you have that mentality and you have that respect that everybody worked real hard to get to this point. You're going to go out there and, you know, kick each other, you know, but at the same time, you life go, you know, you all got to go back to work tomorrow. So you don't want to, exactly. You don't want to get disrespectful, you know? So yeah. It's a neat thing. It really is a neat thing. And you're going to see David Booker, out in the community, you know, it's cause he's that guy. So
certainly. Yeah. And a lot of the fighters too, like you touched on, a lot of them do have good community support. They'll come out and they'll have their fan clubs out there that support. They line up down the catwalk when they're coming out, and it's really fun to see that and see the crowd get behind it. And, you know, whether your fighter's winning or losing, you know, you have the different crowds out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really entertaining, and it's good community support too.
It is.
The next fight, of course, coming up here April 17th.
Yeah.
David the Coffee Boss Booker against Chris Easy Money Berberick tomorrow night. We're going to be seeing that great AFC 147 fight here at the Alaska Airlines Center. If anybody doesn't have tickets, you can get them online, alaskaairlinescenter.com. You can get them at the doors, walk up here too. And then rolling into next fight too in May, yeah. It looks like it's going to be the best of the best. Is that what
that's news to me. I haven't talked to Sarah or seen the promotion on that yet. So
something up that said it was going to be the best of the best. So
that's awesome. I have no doubt. And I know she always, you know, typically May would be the end of the season, right?
Correct.
So she kind of pulls it all out to lay it all on the line. And usually May is like the super card, right? So.
Yeah.
So I imagine that'll be the case again this year, and then they'll keep rolling into the summer. So
yeah, absolutely. I'm sure she's lining up a good card for that one. And then, of course, like we talked on with the new 12-month promotion now, we'll be rolling back in June. We'll actually start the first fight of the next season.
Yeah.
So we'll get that wrapped up here and start into a new season.
I was just checking out some of the fight card here because, like you said, David Coffee Boss Booker in the main event with Chris Easy Money Berberick, and that's going to be fireworks. Sarah calls David Booker the people's champ. I think that's pretty, you know, the man's not wearing gold, but he is a champion. That there is no doubt about that. Co-main event, Trey Evan. See, and here's the thing. I'm glad we're doing this now because I'm going to have to know how to pronounce some of these guys' names. McClenaham. All right, Trey Evan McClenaham. All right, he's going to be taking on Pat White. And then some AFC vets like Jacob Madman McAnulty taking on Marv the Martian Alexi. Those guys, you know, you're going to see them a lot, and they love it. They love putting on shows. So, you know, it's just good guys, good hearts, and good fists.
Absolutely. Is there a matchup yet that, you know, you've been around these fighters enough now to see the technique and who's really skilled and some of those matchups in the different weight classes. Is there a matchup that you would like to see that hasn't happened yet?
That's a good question. I'm gonna pass on that one. Okay.
Okay.
We'll come back to that because we're gonna do this again.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're gonna have you on several times.
All right. I like that. So yes, I will pass on that. But let me do a little homework there, and we'll get it back together because there's so many. There are guys. I can't even think of their names right now. I've just got their faces in my head. They're just a blast to watch. So. Jeremiah Sierra, he's a guy that has a lot of passion. He goes by the Eagle in Spanish, and he told me that about 30 times how to pronounce it, you know. And I remember his first fight came out and he just owned. They're like, that was his first ever fight, and he finished this guy, I don't know, real quick. He actually had a real competitive fight this last card, and he's back. So I'm really curious to see what he's going to do on April 17th, you know. But I don't know. There's a lot of great fighters. I like the big guys, too. It's just fun to see big dudes throwing haymakers.
Absolutely.
It's a little ridiculous, but it's fun. It's fun.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, with his new partnership with UFC as well, touched on a little bit, that's really expanding this promotion. Really good for the fighters, too. There's been a few fighters over the years as well that have gone on and participated in the UFC, the television show that they've done. Was it the last?
The Ultimate Fighter.
Ultimate Fighter,
right?
Yeah,
and yeah, we've had a couple guys. Naptime, Nick Karen Webb. There are a couple other guys. So I went to high school. I went to Bartlett High School, and there was a guy named Doug Heron, who was a wrestler at Bartlett. He went on to UFC. Like, he was fighting in the UFC. Another reason it was like, get to watch Doug, you know, on the international stage. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson.
Yes,
right. So Mighty Mouse. I want to say the longest reigning, like, he passed Anderson Spider Silva as the longest reigning UFC champion in the history of UFC. So there's a guy that used AFC. He's not an Alaskan per se, but he would come up and fight on the card.
Yep.
Sarah saw some talent in him, booked him to fight up here. Got a couple wins in the AFC, And then, boom, he goes to, I believe, the WEC, which was for some of the lighter guys at that time. And then when they kind of got engulfed by the UFC, boom, there he is. And pretty soon he's the champ. He's the champ.
Yeah,
I don't know, was it the flyweight champ? But, yeah, incredible. So there you go. You're going to see world-class talent here at the AFC. You never know who. And guys on the up, you know.
Absolutely.
So, and Tony Lopez and some of the classic
guys,
from, you know, some of the smaller promotions, but that are just hardcore fans, love these guys. Sarah connects with them and brings them up. So, yeah, a lot of neat stuff going on here.
Yeah, never know who's going to be moving on to the UFC and making a big name for themselves as well, too.
Yeah.
Switching over to UFC 2, do you have any fights that you're – I know they just had one this weekend Max Holloway.
Yeah.
Went back in the rematch. I forget the gentleman's name. Drawing a blank right now. But, yeah, some good fights on UFC. Are there any matchups on the UFC level that are favorites of yours? Or, you know, did you watch the McGregor –
Well, McGregor is a wild man. You know, you were talking about having David Booker and Dominic Mayweather here, and like Mayweather wouldn't be able to do that, right? Like, you've seen his pre-fight press conferences. The guy just it's throwing bottles and throwing chairs. And screaming.
McGregor would be an interesting one to try and
it'd be fun
get in the middle of and separate those two. That'd be it's a lot of I don't know how much of it is actually hype as opposed to you know, actual hatred toward each other. I think they had some pretty strong hatred, especially with the antics after the fight and jumping out. I mean, I think that certainly spilled over. But, you know, a lot of it, you know, you're selling a fight. You're on. That's your money. That's your pay per view. You're trying to get that in here.
Man, make a lot of money. He and you know, and him specifically. I mean, marketing genius, right?
What you
think of the person, you still got to say marketing genius. I would point to, you know, the president right now. You know, no matter what people think of the president of the United States, he is a marketing genius. Conor McGregor, marketing genius. Conor McGregor, I think he owns a Irish whiskey company right? So he's got his hands in a couple different pots. Retired at the moment from fighting, but, you know, may make a way over to the WWE. I mean, that guy can talk.
That's true.
So, you know, who knows? And Brock Lesnar heading back to the UFC.
That's right.
So a lot of wild stuff going on. And then what was the other? Oh, Anderson Spider Silva. You're talking about kind of things you want to get excited about at that level. How about Jared Cannonier fighting Anderson Silva, like the legend, like maybe the great, one of the greatest the sport has ever seen. And we got an Alaska guy who came up here.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was military that brought him up, because originally a Texas guy, but he lived here for a long time, trained here. This is where he got his start in MMA. And he is phenomenal to watch. And I think he's dropped like 30 pounds, something like that. So he's on another level. And he's going to fight the greatest of all time.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
I'm looking forward to that a lot.
That is great. Well, hey, if anybody wants to check out some of the new up-and-coming or some of the greatest fighters from Alaska and around the world, come check out the Alaska Fighting Championship, AFC 147, here at the Alaska Airlines Center. April 17th is the next fight. We'll have another one in May, but April 17th, coming up tomorrow.
Let's
do it.
We're
going to have it. Fun night. Say hi to John. He'll be down in the ring, the voice of AFC. So
I appreciate it.
Hey, you're doing a great job. We appreciate having you here.
Awesome.
And we'll have you on more often, talk more fights leading into the fights as well, too. I know it's long overdue that we've had you, but
kind of fun.
Really appreciate your time and coming in to talk AFC fights.
Because every month there is an AFC fight at the Alaska Airlines Center.
Every month from here on out.
I didn't even realize until I was reading some notes here, because I know that they had extended throughout the year on UFC Fight Pass, but you guys, the Alaska Airlines Center, locked down a deal with AFC. So
we did, yeah.
It will be here.
It'll be here for the foreseeable future, and we're excited. It's excited. It's a great great tenant to have here, and something that we can base every month. And we're excited for it.
Class arena in the state. You know that.
Well, thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. John Thompson, always great to have you in here. We'll get you in here more often. AFC 147 coming up April 17th here at the Alaska Airlines Center. Get your tickets now, alaskaairlinescenter.com, or at the door. Fights will start at 7 p.m. local time. The UFC Fight Pass will kick on midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, 8 Alaska time. If you can't make it, at least tune into UFCFightPass.com.
Do it.
All right. John, thanks again.
All right.
And thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Alaska Airlines Center Podcast.